Father, would you bless the words that I speak? Would Jesus Christ be glorified? And the Holy Spirit be at work in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if I were to speak of the Roman Empire, what would come into your minds? What kind of images come to mind with the Roman Empire? Maybe it's soldiers dressed in gleaming steel with large rectangular shields, bright and colourful. Or you think of the Colosseum, mighty Roman temples and arches of triumph and splendour. Or what if I were to speak of the Egyptian kingdoms? What comes to mind? The pyramids at Giza, the Sphinx, immense in size, obelisks reaching out to touch the sky, exotic, opulent clothing, gold, so much gold. Or the British Empire, what comes to mind there? Redcoats in their matching outfits, marching in lines, the pageantry and the glory of the trooping of the colour even today. A world map where a quarter of it, a third of the population is coloured in pink under Queen Victoria. Of course, all of these kingdoms, these empires, had dark sides as well. But they generally conjure to mind such opulence and power and wealth and magnificence. So it's not a little jarring that at the start of this parable we come to the kingdom of God. And what comes to mind when we think of the kingdom of God? What image does Jesus want in our minds? Is it that kind of image? No. Here, the kingdom of God is imaged and described as a seed being sown into the soil. Something simple, something boring, something everyday, the kind of work of menial labour and the poor. The greatest of kingdoms, the most glorious, a seed scattered on the ground in which we don't even know how it grows. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts the sickle, because the harvest has come. It's a simple, short parable making a simple point. We shouldn't read too much into all the terms about the different stages of growth and what each one of those might mean. That is just how plants tend to grow. The seed, of course, is the word of God. A few parables earlier in this chapter is the parable of the sower. And when Jesus explains that, he says the seed is the word of the Lord. It's the word of God which is scattered into our hearts. And the sower in this parable here again is likely us. It makes no sense for it to be God or Jesus, because they do know how seeds grow and how faith grows. And also the Lord God never has to sleep, which sounds wonderful if you ask me. But what does this parable teach us? Well, I want to make two key things clear. It teaches us about evangelism, and it teaches us about our own and others' inward spiritual growth. It teaches us about evangelism and about inward spiritual growth. So evangelism, the sharing of God's word, it starts off with the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. The word of God is scattered on the ground, liberally, everywhere. The seed must be sown if it is to grow. We must sow the seeds of the gospel with words into people's lives. But then The real work is God's, not ours. There's no such thing as Harry Potter evangelism, where you say the magic words in the right order and wave your hands in a particular way and then bam, a Christian. Fantastic. That's not how it worked. It's never worked that way. There are no magic words. We share the gospel as we are able, and then we trust in the Lord, not in magic, to change hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. We don't know why some people respond to the gospel and some people don't. The Bible tells us that God elects some to salvation and not others. Some respond immediately. Others, it takes 40 years, 50 years, 60 or even more of us sharing our life and our faith with them before at the end they come to know Christ for themselves. But it's not for us to worry. It's not for us to carry this burden of, did I do enough? Did I say the right things? Did I do it in the right way? Too many people don't share their faith because they're worried that they're going to mess up and that somehow the Lord isn't big enough to use whatever it is that they say and what they do. And this is true also when we look in Paul's own ministry and the ministry of the early church. We look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? They're servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each, as the Lord planned. I planted, said Paul. Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Only God who gives the growth. You may plant the seed of faith in someone and never see them again. And someone else waters it and someone else does the weeding. And therefore, in time, God brings the growth. But we can all have an impact there, whether we're the sower or the waterer or the weeder or whatever it might be, we can all have a part in what God is doing, in what God is growing in their lives. And this is important, that we don't become disheartened. Story time, times two. First story. Some of you know, some of you maybe don't, that later this year, Lord willing, it does look like it's going ahead, I'm going to Japan for 11 weeks to do missionary work with the Overseas Mission Fellowship. I'll be doing ministry in Hirosaki City, up in the north of the main island of Japan. And I'll be doing ministry in English. I'll be speaking in English to people whose second language is English, who maybe don't have very good English, but they want to practice English and practice their conversations. And I'll get to share my testimony and do other things as well. I've no idea what impact I might be able to have in those 11 weeks speaking a language which is not their first language. I don't know if I'll be there for long enough to have any impact. I don't know how building these relationships and sharing my life and faith is going to go. But it would be easy to give up and go, oh, that's far too much. You're not going to do anything at all. Japan's one of the world's most unreached people groups for the gospel. Less than 1% are Christian. There's huge challenges from society and culture and religion. But behold, who gives the growth? Is it me? No. Is it the churches in Japan? No. Who gives the growth? God Almighty. In simple things as speaking English and giving English lessons and sharing a bit of my faith and what Jesus means to me. That's sowing the seed. That's my job. And to not be disheartened if nothing grows, but to rejoice if it does. I've got a dear friend, one of my longest running friends, who I got to know in about 2005 online. I didn't meet them for nearly 2 years. And we just spoke online They lived a long way away. And at that time, I'd just really come back to the faith. I'd only just started going back to church. There was so much I didn't know about the faith. There was so much which was very wrong and deeply dark in my life and shameful. I was not the kind of person I am today, although I still have lots of sins as well. But my life was a mess back then. And yet, when I could, I shared with this person my faith and what Jesus meant to me. And God knew that. God knew that. And there were times in the past number of years where we didn't really speak to each other. And then we would, and then we wouldn't. But now, they've been on mission to India multiple times. They help run a Christian charity. They're worship leading at a church. It's remarkable. They wrote something for me in the front of this Bible, which was for my 30th birthday. By the grace and leading of our Heavenly Father, you rescued me and brought me into the presence of the Saviour that I might otherwise have never known. When I shared my faith with this person, my faith was a bit of a mess, and my life was a bigger mess. I hadn't been to training. I'd done no evangelism. I'd only just started going back to church. But my broken, imperfect, untrained words were used by God's grace to grow such a Jesus-loving, church-serving saint. I didn't give that growth. Others watered and others weeded over the year. I planted, but God gave the growth. Those stories could be you. There could be people in your life who you share your faith with, imperfect and broken as it may be, who come to faith because God gives the growth. So don't be disheartened or discouraged or fearful of sharing your faith in Jesus, whether it's with your friends on the street, with your family, or on the other side of the world, whether it's online or in person or over the phone. Your faith in Jesus' death and resurrection is something that must be shared, and God will give the growth. And what about our personal growth? What about spiritual growth? My second theme I want to speak on. Verses 28 and 29. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. We all start as children in the faith, weak and helpless, needing to grow, and eventually we grow to where we are now. I don't actually remember being a child, so I'm convinced I never was one. Those utterly incomprehensible little human things, they're just a different race to me. But I'm told on good authority that I was in fact a child, and I wasn't always running ultra marathons and lifting weights and doing all of these kind of things. I had to grow and continue to grow through my life. And hopefully I'll continue to do so as well. And our faith grows as well. I spoke about how in 2005, six or so with this person, my faith was a bit of a mess. It was very young. It had lots of things that weren't straight and weren't right. But it's grown over the years. Even the mighty St. Paul, who had that amazing conversion experience where the Lord spoke to him and knocked him off his horse, he had to spend years in prayer and ministry growing his faith before he could ever minister in God's church. People watered and people weeded for him. And we can water and we can weed our own faith. We can pray regularly. We can read our Bibles. We can study our Bibles. We can go to groups. We can go to courses. And these are remarkable things. But it's God who gives the growth. Throughout my time as an undergraduate at university, I learned so much about the Bible. For my final exams, I had to know nearly two-thirds of the Bible and be given any passage and be able to go, bam, Isaiah 15, This is what happened before, this is what happened afterwards, this is all that's going on, here and here and here. I crammed my head full of that knowledge. I spent hours doing it. And you know what? My faith was still a mess. And when it came to reading the Bible, I didn't get any spiritual benefit from it. Instead, it was just words and knowledge and facts and exam questions. I'm so glad I did study the Bible, though, because now it is such a wealth to me. But it took me going to Uganda and my heart really being opened and God opening my heart, God opening my eyes and my mind and giving that growth. We should all seek to do everything we can to give every opportunity in prayer and study and reading and groups and courses, give every opportunity for God to use for our spiritual growth. But don't be disheartened when yourself or others seem so far ahead. We all feel like that at times. We look at other people in church and we think, wow, look at that saint. Aren't they amazing? I wish I prayed like that person. I wish I spoke and preached like that person. I wish I had their confidence. I wish this, I wish that. One of my great flaws is I get jealous very easily of people who are better at things than I am. And so I wrestle with that all the time, thinking other people, I wish that was me. What can I do to get there? And there might be steps to take, but ultimately, spiritually, it's God who gives the growth. And that means on the reverse, when there's other people who aren't as fresh in the faith as you, who aren't as strong in the faith, who don't know all that you know, who haven't been through the trials in the faith that you have, don't look down on them as if they're just immature and they're not real Christians yet and they'll get it someday. Don't despise those who know less, who have matured less, who understand less. If you love Jesus as Lord and God and Saviour who died to forgive you your sins of which you repent, and you seek to glorify the Father and you long to live in the power of the Spirit, you are saved. You are washed in the blood. You are cleansed. You are loved by God as much as any other mighty saint. As much as Billy Graham or the Archbishop of York or whoever it might be. You are loved and valued as much as they because we're saved through faith. We all start as seeds. Plain, boring, small, dead. But Jesus' blood brings the growth. So don't look down on those who are less far along than you. And don't look with envy and jealousy with those who are further ahead. This parable teaches us about evangelism, the importance of sharing our faith boldly. It teaches us the importance of doing all we can to grow spiritually. But in both those things, remembering that it's God who gives the growth. And so we must not be disheartened. We must try and try and try again. And I think these last two verses of the song we're about to sing sum that contrast up so well. What we should aim to be and what we should aim to do, and the realization of what's really behind the growth. March we forth in the strength of God with the banner of Christ unfurled, that the light of the glorious gospel truth may shine throughout the world. Fight we the fight with sorrow and sin to set their captives free, that the earth may be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. What an image of glory, of the kingdom of God in power. But the kingdom of God starts as a seed. All we can do is nothing worth unless God blesses the deed. Vainly we hope for the harvest tide till God gives life to the seed. Yet nearer and nearer draws the time that shall surely be when the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. What an awesome prayer to pray. Amen.